Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. As we roll along here, we got plenty going on. We got the spring game. Tomorrow, we got that going on. We'll have that broadcast. And this is going to go to like 6:30. Then we'll do pregame for a half hour, and then we'll do the game. And it'll be probably more of like a talk show almost than a game.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so we'll have that. Should be great weather out there for that. Also have Inside Churchill Downs tomorrow night on ESPN 680. Today, Wing Zone Day here at ESPN Louisville. So for your next tailgate, try the new chicken sandwich. Order online at wingzone.com. You get that for dinner, but you have a much fancier dinner or supper that you're going to.
Yeah, you know, Keeneland today.
Supper.
Keeneland today, and then Claremont Supper Club down there at James B. Beam Distilling Company. And the Claremont Supper Club is today, and the next one is May 16th. But they actually have a lot going on. If you go to the beamdistilling.com, Horses and Heritage, it's a Derby week dinner mm-hmm. that they're going to have. It's a Beam Bourbon Social.
And Beam Bourbon Social.
Yeah, Beam Bourbon Social, which is, you know, it's kind of a Kentucky Derby themed deal. And then they're going to have also a Bourbon and Birdies, a dinner with Fred Noe, and that's going to be built around the PGA Championship. So there's got a lot going on, and that's going to be the PGA week. That's May 15th. And the next mm-hmm. Claremont Supper Club is May 16th. So there's lots of good...
So you can hang out with Blankenbaker and have supper.
I was talking to Ashley about going to the May 16th one, because tonight I'm taking my buddy Matt. We're going to Keeneland and the Claremont mm-hmm. Supper Club together. I don't know.
It just sounds so... snobbish.
It's amazing.
It's
amazing.
So you.
Five
but it's,
courses.
I'm sure it's great.
Five courses. Each course is paired with
five
its own.
Five courses. You don't eat five courses. That's a week's worth of meals for you these days.
It's small plates. So uh-huh. And it's over a... It's like 3.5 hours. Uh-huh. So and each one of them is paired with like a really great cocktail. And at the end of it, they let you buy like... stuff that you can't normally buy.
Like what?
Like today, it's like an Overholt. It's a brand new product. I don't even remember what it is.
What?
But it's an Overholt product. And like sometimes it's like Baker's 13 is out there. Or Little Book. They have a Little Book release or whatever. There's always something different that they release at these Claremont Supper Clubs. And it's amazing. It's incredible.
Sure it is. I'll be heading out to Keeneland too.
You need to go to one.
Stay away from me.
I need to take you to a supper club. June.
No.
July. August.
You can name all of them.
December.
That is you. That is not me.
You would love it.
No. It would take too long. I wouldn't be able to leave.
There's lots of fun stuff, and you're meeting people.
I'm sure it's great.
It's awesome.
I'm sure it's great. That is not me. I don't like to sit around.
And he's sick communal style.
Oh,
so, like, you're at table. Well, like, you're with your
people.
I'd
rather be with Brady Brom at Double Dogs. That's my style.
Well, I love Double Dogs, too.
I know, but that's my style.
Step out and eat like this. It's great.
That's great. You know, it's great for you. I'm sure if you like that, it's great. I'd be like last night, me, Lieberman, and Crazy Creighton, we had a meeting over at Brownies. You know, we're sitting there, you know.
Just hanging out?
Yeah.
Did Chip go or did Chip get left home?
At Brownies? Do you bring your dog there?
That's true. They have a patio.
Doesn't mean you can bring your dog just because a place has a patio.
You can bring your dog to Double Dogs.
Right, because it's Double Dogs. Thus the name. So, yeah, Crazy Creighton, we were up there, and he wanted to watch Reed Detmer's pitch, except we did a bad scouting report in his part. They didn't have the Major League Baseball packs. Very disappointing, cray-cray on that.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but Reed Detmer's, his Cy Young odds have shot up the list. He was like plus 10,000. Well,
under on his
year.
Strikeouts last night, I'll tell you that.
Well, I hate that for Reed, but he
I hate
is,
that for me and Creighton.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize about your bets, but his odds to win the Cy Young
are what now?
He's like the seventh choice,
okay,
which is crazy.
That would be nuts.
Of course, I don't know what happened after last night. You know, if he's under his strikeouts, his Cy Young odds might have gone down. You know,
I don't even know if he got the win. That's the only part of the game I bet was his over under five and a half strikeouts.
But I was excited to see that because I think he's having a really nice year. We need some pitching like Reed Detmer's back.
Oh, you think? It'd be nice to have a guy pitching in the major leagues.
Right. His brother's on the team. You know, we still have a Detmers.
Well, it's not a guy pitching in the major leagues.
Right.
Yes.
We'd have Bobby Miller and Reed Detmers on the same team. Yeah, we got robbed.
I mean, they missed
year.
A tournament that year. It's crazy. The
tournament didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke.
They're the one team in the country.
Let's go to Steve up next. Steve, welcome in. I think the Philly ESPN 680.
How we doing, Drew?
All right, Steve.
Yeah, we've got the same dog walker. He does a great job.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you know what a nutty Louisville fan he is.
He,
yeah.
He was saying that Kentucky game lasted over 4 hours the other night.
Yeah, and he was there early to tailgate and all the way through.
God.
Yeah. You know, after listening to Jeff, it's just what a great, a nice person and very knowledgeable. But not to rehash anything, but what do you think Jurich's problem was with him? Why did he have this, you know, whatever?
He was trying to blame shift for Cragthorpe sucking. I mean, anything that, you know, I think Tom really did the same process as he'd always done with hiring every coach that he would have done again with Cragthorpe.
And that one didn't work out.
And he was trying to shift the blame to someone other than Cragthorpe. And it was misplaced, misguided, and, you know, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Appreciate it, guys. Right. Have a good one.
There you go. Ask a question. You get an answer. I mean,
I lived through it.
I'm not leaving out of it.
You know, and I liked very much the Tom Jurich era.
Sure.
That's one of the things that I
wouldn't
really
be in the ACC with that. Let's not ever confuse that.
Yeah.
Point.
That's one of the things that really bugged me. You know, it was the running of Jeff Brohm and
of the Brohm family name too.
Right.
It wasn't just that. It was Greg. It was
totally. And you know, but that whole thing was just kind of, and I do kind of wonder, like, Jeff's out there. He's throwing like the first pitch, and he's going out. He's like the first man of Louisville athletics right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there staying, not just throwing the first pitch, staying for the game.
Right.
You know, everything else.
But could he have imagined, you know, all those years ago, 17 years ago, when that all went down? Coming back and all this happening today.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild to hear, but
it's unfortunate. You know, you just wish it wouldn't have happened, but it did.
It did happen. And it was just a bad hire. It was a bad hire, and everybody knew it from the beginning.
And people were allowed to make mistakes, allowed to make a bad hire. If you make three of them, it's one thing.
But. And also, Steve Kragthorpe's defensive coordinator, Ron English, he put up the number 21 defense last year.
Kind of why Jeff was like, come on back, you know?
I mean, some of it didn't work. I mean, a lot of that staff is on.
Yeah.
Was the coaching staff of the team that just won 10 games and played the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
So who's the common denominator here? It was Steve Kragthorpe was the problem. Not Brohm, not English.
Like Taylor Swift right now. It's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, but Brad Kragthorpe, Trinity alumni, he is he's the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback coach.
Is he really? I did not know that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
No kidding.
He's on the Bengals staff. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great.
That's pretty amazing. All right. Well, it's just been a whirlwind. I mean, we have Jeff. Do we have any cuts of Jeff? I feel like people are just now tuning in. I mean, if we clipped up any of his answers there, or
I can check with James.
Yeah, check with James, or check. I can check the Dropbox too as well. Just because, I mean, like, he addressed, you know, Penny Boone as much as you can address it. You know, without saying, you know. The name, which is just a
bad information leads to bad decisions.
Yeah,
that's what I took out of it. I mean, that quote to me was like the whole thing. Yeah, bad information, bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, four words is all I needed to hear. By the way, bad information, bad decisions. Jim Beam, representative, has texted in and said, "Tell Drew it's just like the UFC. Once you go once,
yeah, I believe me. As I was saying those words, I believe it. Like I believe it. It's just." I don't like to stick around for even my son's own banquet.
You just don't have a lot of patience.
I don't.
Yeah.
And so I know that about me. I know
but
we were going to do
it.
I know we were going to do a terrible radio show inside Ellison Bodenhausen if we stayed where we were. So I switched. I know that I will get anxious and bored. And
it's really goes pretty good.
I am not in the demo. I'm single and impatient. That is not an environment for single and impatient
and
people.
And bourbon does not mix well with you.
Never. Oh no, that's I don't haven't drink. I mean, I might have a mint julep on Derby Day. That is the extent of my bourbon drinking.
I get the $1,000 mint julep every year.
Yes, you do.
It goes
and you will
me.
Continue to get.
Yeah, because if he gets it, it doesn't go
waste.
Well.
It's a waste.
Yeah,
it's a waste if we do that. So, okay, so. Yeah, this is, so which one, what do we, did you probably text it or something, didn't you? Or
is I
it,
believe it's the one that you
okay,
like
well, yeah, yeah. So let's, you know, if you missed it, this is what he had to say a little bit earlier about that.
Well, with college football and the lack of monitoring rules throughout the NCAA and those things that happen, you're going to get numerous teams that through numerous sources are going to spread rumors and make calls and call your players and work behind the scenes to recruit those guys. You're going to get, unfortunately, some agents slash street handlers, handlers of guys that are going to give a lot of bad information to certain people that, you know, if they follow it, then they're going to make bad mm-hmm. decisions. And you know what? You can't control it all. But at the same time, you know, we want a football team of guys that fit in, that love being where they're at, that work hard, that understand what we're doing. And if they don't believe in the same thing, then we encourage them to look elsewhere.
And the follow-up thing, we got number two in there. I'm looking at the Dropbox now. So, you know, I asked him if it pissed him off or made him mad.
I think
you seem to be the kind of guy who's lived by that. You do what you say you're going to do. So does something like that, does it piss you off?
Well, like I said, on air, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of...
well, know, not even just the concept of it. I mean, just people suggesting that you're not doing what you said you're going to do.
Well, it doesn't make me mad. I know, you know, you can ask our players and people that have been through here. I think we have a pretty good setup here, and we do a good job of taking care of our guys. And, you know, we want to win here. Mm-hmm. We're going to win, and we're going to work hard to win, and we're going to provide an environment to get that done. There's a lot of other factors now that go into whether someone wants to be somewhere or not, which is fine. That's how the game has gone. But in the end, you've got to be able to play football. You've got to be able to work hard. You've got to be able to be a great teammate. You've got to be able to lay it on the line. And if you can, other good things can happen along the way, that's great. We want that to happen as well.
So, again, I think kind of the same mind. I think the same answer, not answer, but kind of answering as well, telling you what's going on. The first one was probably more indicative.
Yeah. Bad information, bad decisions.
No.
I mean, that should be like a hat.
Yeah.
It should be like a hat.
Street agents, mix that in there too.
Right. I mean, you should have that on like polos and all sorts of stuff. Like you go into a family's house, say bad information, bad decisions.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Here I am with good information and good guidance.
Probably right. All right. Hey, RGB, red, green, blue, rgbhometheaters.com. That's who, if you want to enjoy maybe a UFC event like we did the other night, which we're going to talk about, the fight night coming to town up next. If you want to just watch whatever you want to watch, movies, whatever the case may be, RGB will enhance your viewing experience. Red, green, blue. RGBhometheaters.com. That's the website to turn to. And that's, you know, you talk to Kyle over there. You talk to, anybody who's had any experience with RGB, they'll tell you what a great experience that it was. It's red, green, blue, RGBhometheaters.com. And when you get over there, tell me you're just talking about them here on the Diener Show.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling. It's me.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting there with Che. I thought in my mind this is what he would go with as we were talking about.
Every now and then he surprises us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, most of the time he does. But we're getting there. That's, I'm like, okay. I think we're getting on that same wavelength. But that's the genius of Chase in the bumper music. We got plenty coming up. We got the spring game for you for U of L tomorrow night. Lou City's in action on Saturday night, and we got Inside Churchill Downs. And of course, we are at home for the Kentucky Derby, Derby 150 coming up. But I got super excited yesterday. I was leaving the building here and got the text that the announcement of UFC Fight Night is coming to town. And I would have been shocked if it weren't for the next on the line, Aaron Bronstetter, is with us because you told us this last Friday. So congratulations on the scoop and take a victory lap. Good morning.
Well, do I hate to play spoiler, but hopefully the element of surprise that was lost was, I guess, voided by the elation of the knowledge that the UFC will be coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, so you had obviously heard the rumblings of this. I don't know why there hasn't been one. I know there was something with, like, the Boxing Commission some time back, but I don't know how it got here. Do you have any sense of, or have you heard anything about on that front at all?
No, I'm not too sure. I mean, the UFC are trying to make up ground that was lost from the pandemic and the fact that they're still doing cards at the UFC Apex. So there's a lot of pent-up demand in different markets across, really, worldwide that are looking to have UFC events. So, you know, oftentimes the local municipal governments will pay and the tourism boards will pay money for the UFC to come to their city. I don't know if that's going to be the case here, given that it's a fight night, but that could very well be what is bringing the UFC to Louisville.
Aaron Bronstetter with us again. He's with Mayor Porter for Sportsnet. So to sort of explain what these fight nights are, because I think that's going to be the challenge around here for a lot of people, because these fight nights used to just be in Vegas with not many people even you could be allowed to attend, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, before the pandemic, this is what a fight night would look like. You'd go to the different cities in across America, and typically would go to, you know, big cities, but not you know, your major cities like Chicago and New York, you know, the I guess more populated cities in the U.S. But Louisville would actually be a perfect location for a UFC fight night historically. So once the pandemic hit, the UFC Fight Nights all kind of moved to the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, which is their production facility. But prior to the pandemic, this is what the UFC used to do almost every weekend. They would go to a different city for a UFC Fight Night, and they are still holding Fight Night cards at the UFC Apex. I'd say probably about 60% of them are still held in Las Vegas. I don't know if that's going to be changing anytime soon, but it seems like it's been a good thing for the UFC. They're able to basically flick a switch, and they've got their whole production facility in a single building. That said, like I said, there's a lot of pent-up demand in all kinds of cities worldwide that want to host UFC Fight Night. So I think it's certainly lucky that Louisville is getting one of these events in 2024.
No, I absolutely agree. See, that's what my son could never figure out. He was like, why don't they do these? There's all these people. Because the last one was in, wasn't the recent one in Brazil or something that had a huge crowd?
The most recent Fight Night card?
Yeah. What was the one most recently that had like a really big crowd? I'm probably getting mine confused.
I'm trying to think what the last one they did that wasn't at the Apex was. They did the one at Atlantic City that did pretty well. That was, I think, the most recent one that was outside of the UFC Apex, yeah.
Right, so are the fighters that are at these, are these guys we'll see on the numbered events? Like, who? Give us a sense of the caliber of the fighters.
Yeah, so typically on a fight night, at least one that's taking place outside of the Apex in Las Vegas, we'll typically have a top 10 ranked fighter that's headlining against another kind of ranked fighter. That's kind of the barometer for what you'll see in the main event. It really depends on what they're able to put together based on the schedule. And, you know, the problem, it's kind of a gift and a curse. If you watched UFC 300, it was an incredible card. But the issue with it is so many of the UFC's top 10 fighters, I think it was upwards of 20% of them, were on that one card. So as a result of that, it kind of sanitizes a lot of the other cards on the calendar. Now, by the time this card in Louisville rolls around in June, will there be more top 10 fighters that are available to turn around and be on that card? I guess time will tell. They haven't announced the main event for it. But that's kind of what you're going to be looking at for a main event is two fighters that are ranked in the top 15, one of which will likely be top 10, possibly even both.
So, these things get to travel everywhere, I mean, how far out do you know, like, a field, like the matchups? I mean, how far out do they, you know, can they know something like that?
So typically tickets will go on sale about 8 weeks before the event. So it's coming up June 8th. So we're starting to get into the ballpark for, actually, I believe it's 6 weeks. About 6 weeks out, that's when tickets will go on sale. So we're looking at, like, in the next week or two, we should have a main event announced for that card, if I were to guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what would be considered a good crowd for something like this. The lower bowl at the Yum Center is probably about, I don't know, 6,000 to 8,000, something like that. I don't know what the, now that they're, I guess it's kind of tough to gauge since they're just now back on the road with a lot of these things like you were talking about.
Well, they're looking to sell out. I think they've sold out 11 straight cards outside of the Apex.
Wow.
And like I said, with the pent-up desire for people that want to go and see a UFC event that haven't been able to go in what, 5-6 years, I'm not sure when the last card in Louisville was, or in
13 years ago. It's been like 13 years, so it's a lot of long time.
Wow. Yeah, so yeah, that's a lot of pent-up demand. So I imagine that this, wow. I mean, their aim is to sell the card out.
Wow, because that's, the Yum Center's for configuration for that, maybe 20,000 or I don't know.
22.5 for basketball, but with that ring, it's not as big as a basketball court, so might get a few more in there.
Yeah, so could be, be a great time. Aaron Bronson with us here from Sportsnet. So, like, typically, it's like somebody, if a main event here, somebody wins that, is that somebody would see, like, at the next UFC numbered event often, or would that be too big of a leap?
No, typically that would be the case. Probably not main eventing it or anything along those lines. But if you end up winning a fight night main event, it kind of depends on how the schedule plays out and who's available to compete.
Mm-hmm.
But typically that would be the case. Now, I mean, you look at some of these other main events that we've seen on fight nights. Like, there's a card coming up in St. Louis that's being headlined by Derek Lewis, and Derek Lewis is someone who's kind of a fan favorite, but. You know, he's like the perfect candidate for somebody who's going to headline a fight night card because, he's always bringing entertaining fights. But he's facing a guy named, like, Rodrigo Nascimento, who's barely ranked, not a household name. So I would say that, hopefully Louisville will get a better main event than that. That main event's coming up in about a month's time in St. Louis. But, you look at the card the week after at the Apex, got Edson Barboza versus Lerone Murphy. So that's kind of a more of a low-end fight night card.
Yeah.
But, this card's starting to sneak up on us for Louisville. I mean, we're talking less than 2 months away. They've already announced a couple. They've already got actually quite a few bouts that are announced for this particular card before they even announced where it was going to be. And there's nothing really standing out right now, but I think that they're going to be adding some solid fighters to main. I would say the biggest name on the card right now is Raul Rosas Jr., who's 19 years old, one of the top young prospects in the UFC. He was supposed to fight Ricky Turcios about a month ago. That fight fell through, and it's been rescheduled for this card on June 8th.
What is the difference in caliber of like the AFL and the fight night? How big a difference is there in terms of the caliber of fighter?
When you say AFL, you mean...
I'm sorry, LFA. LFA. Oh. Sorry, not AFL.
Oh, LFA.
LFA.
Okay.
Sorry, a little dyslexic. Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's kind of, it's going to be a step up from LFA. LFA are fighters that are, it's kind of a feeder league for the UFC. I mean, everybody you're going to see on this card on June 8th is going to be a UFC caliber fighter. So I think that you're going to get really high-level competition. But again, like, looking at what they have announced, I'd say they've got maybe one or two of these fights that they have announced are going to be on the main card. Everything else is kind of a prelim card. And a lot of fighters kind of from all over the place. Pooja Tomar is making her debut. She's from India. She's the first female fighter signed from India. Hmm. Interesting to have her fight in Louisville for her debut, but you got to put people on cards somewhere. Taylor Lapolis is on the card. He's from France. You got Bat Katona. He's Canadian, trained out of Ireland. He's on the card. Raul Rosas Jr. from Mexico. So it's, you got fighters kind of from all over that are going to be on this card.
Yeah, fighters, I don't know what the mold is. You got to be a tad crazy, don't you, to be good? I mean, just a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say that in order to get into a cage with another human being in your underwear and then fight to hopefully make them unconscious is probably, have a little
fair
bit
assessment.
Crazy.
A little bit off.
Or you're just a phenomenal athlete who's fallen into this particular sport. But you got to have, a certain confidence that the average person certainly does not have and probably certainly can't be taught either. Like, that it does take a special person to be able to make it to the highest level of really any sport and have that degree of confidence. But I think with fighting, you got to also have a little bit something extra.
Let's look at last week, UFC 300. I mean, the main event may have been Pereira Hill, but the fight, I mean, you watch this, you know, obviously this is your gig, but the Holloway Gaethje fight, if there's better ones, I'd love to know about it. My God, they broke his nose in the first round and it goes to the last second. I mean, that's as good as drama as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of a fight from start to finish, like if you were to say, are there better fights from start to finish? This like might be in Justin Gaethje's top five. It's like if you ignore the last second dramatics, like the last second ending. Let's say that he didn't get knocked out in the final second of that fight,
yeah.
and it just went to the scorecards. I'd say Justin Gaethje's had at least five better fights than that.
Wow,
which is like why we knew this was going to be kind of a tailor-made incredible fight. Like if you go back and watch Gaethje's fight against Michael Chandler, Gaethje's fight against his first fight against Dustin Poirier, his fight against Eddie Alvarez. Like, he's had some just absolute classics, and this is just another one to add to the list. But, I mean, obviously that last-second knockout is what put, you know, that fight on the map as being an all-time great fight. Like, I think that if that last-second knockout didn't happen, we'd be talking about, still a great fight, but not to the extent that we're talking about it now.
I mean, Max Holloway could have just walked around the ring and easily just gone to the decision and won. He engages at the last minute, risks it. And, I mean, I guess, is that the $300,000 bonus aspect from Dana White? I mean, I assume that's a part of it?
Well, he got a $600,000 right. bonus. He got fight of the night and performance of the night.
Yeah.
So I think that's certainly, and I think, you know, what he said to me afterwards is, like, this is what the BMF championship should be about. Just like, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. And I think that's what made that last, you know, that fight, again, going from like a four-star fight to a five-star fight is just the last second histrionics where Max Holloway engages with him and they throw caution to the wind. And, you know, neither guy needed to engage. Like Justin Gaethje, I think Holloway kind of gave Justin Gaethje a chance there because
yeah.
Holloway had won that fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That was done.
Holloway wanted to make it something special for the fans, which I think takes a special type of entertainer. Like, you know, I think athletics and athletic endeavors aside, I mean, like, you know, if you're in the World Series and it's, you know, you're up by three runs, you're not going to lob a softball to somebody to give them a chance to hit a grand slam to entertain the fans.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of gamesmanship that goes into something like that as well. And, I mean, I think the bonuses probably play into that as well, but that's just kind of who Max Holloway is. He did that against Ricardo Lamas, too, years ago. If you watch Holloway versus Lamas, like, Holloway's up in that fight, last 10 seconds points to the center of the cage and did exactly what he did on Saturday, except it just didn't end in that same spectacular fashion.
What? So you were there. What was this like, the energy like, compared to other UFC's events?
So I'm at these events. I'm typically backstage.
Okay.
And, I mean, everybody backstage with me was just buzzing about how great the card was. And typically, you know, you're in the media, you're trying not to have emotional reactions to things, and that's kind of how we're trained in media when we're covering an event. But when that knockout happened, like, the roof blew off that arena. I mean, everybody backstage, yeah. Anybody that you saw was just like, wow, yeah, I can't believe that just happened, you know. The next day, I was like, can somebody put together a YouTube compilation of every reaction to this that anybody could find? Like, I watched 40 minutes of people just reacting to that knockout because, like, some of the reactions were just so over the top.
Well, and it's a group moment. Watching event, too. Like, when you get a UFC, you know, I had a group of guys over at the house. The energy of a group of guys gathered around watching two dudes trying to just, you know, maul each other. And to have that happen, I mean, yeah, every UFC party in America would have had some of this, the greatest. I mean, instead of a camera next time, just leave it there because it would go viral. Because you're right, you can't help. It's like instinct, you know, like, you know, reflex almost that when something like that happens that you go, oh, you know, that you just freak out.
Yeah, that was almost one of my regrets was that I didn't have the little tripod with the camera going just to get everybody's reaction that was back there. I think that would have been pretty cool.
Oh.
I mean, the reactions, I think, were just absolutely incredible because it's one of those moments. I mean, I think that's when you go to a UFC live event, that's kind of what you're paying for. Like, you're not always going to get the best sight lines.
Yeah.
The production on television is tremendous. Like, they are absolutely...
They're right there.
First class.
Yeah.
When it comes to production for TV, but when you're in the building and you can feed off the energy of everybody else there, that's what makes it a special thing to go to these events. Like when the UFC comes to Louisville, if you want to experience kind of a communal experience that's very different from what you're used to at a sporting event, I mean, listen, if you're going to watch Louisville versus Kentucky in the NCAA, that atmosphere is always going to be incredibly special. I mean, it's hard to replicate that kind of thing. But, you know, you've also got an us versus them mentality when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're watching a UFC event, like, everybody's just kind of feeding off of each other based on the moments that are happening in front of them in real time. There's not necessarily going to be a partisan crowd for any of these fighters. It's just people getting to enjoy these incredible singular moments in sports. And I think that's what makes going to a UFC event so special, if you have that opportunity, because, like you said, we're talking 13 years in between. Tickets are not going to be cheap. You're probably going to end up paying anywhere between $200 to $800 to go to this event. But to have that kind of communal experience with people is something that you can't really replicate at other sporting events.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, do you think that'll be that much here for tickets, or do you you're saying that's what it was for that, for UFC 300?
No, I think it'll probably be that much there. I'm thinking upper bowls will probably be in like the $125 to $200 range, and then lower bowls, you're talking anywhere between $300 to $900. I mean, depends on what, and then you got your floor tickets, which probably be in the $1,000 area code if you want to sit near the cage. So it's not going to be a cheap date. I mean, UFC tickets have not been cheap, yeah, since the pandemic. I mean, they just had their third highest all-time gate for UFC 300 behind, like, Conor McGregor fights. It's the highest one they've ever done. When they were here in Toronto earlier this year, I mean, the tickets were, like, prohibitively expensive. I think the cheapest ticket was $450. I mean, the Canadian money, so we're talking, like, $325, $350 US, but still, like, very, very expensive. And again, that's to get in the door.
Yeah.
So, you know, the tickets have been pretty expensive for UFC events. Wow.
Save your loonies and toonies for that one. That'll be an expensive one for that. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it. Oh, yeah, and just real quickly on the main event, I mean, did Hill just show up fat? I mean, I walk out there and Pereira, I'm like, Pereira's going to win this fight. Hill looked like he wasn't in shape for the fight, or am I way off on that? Does he always look like that?
That's how he always looks. Okay. He kind of got a Teletubby-shaped body. It's very interesting. It's the fact that he was able to become champion just shows how skilled he is. But, yeah, his body is a little bit unorthodox for a light heavyweight. But I didn't think he was in bad shape. I think that's kind of how he always looks, and he's just a very confident fighter, very skilled fighter. But, you know, coming off an ACL injury and facing a guy as tough as Alex Pereira is a tough ask. He wasn't that small of a – he wasn't a big underdog in that fight either. It was almost an even money fight. So I think that speaks to the skill of Jamahal Hill and how much faith people had in him going into that fight.
I mean, how big of a badass move is it to get kicked in the balls and say, no, I don't need my time. I'm getting ready to work this guy. I mean, that was pretty freaking amazing.
Looked at the ref and said, no, let me cook. And then we saw what happened there. I mean, that was a crazy – now that upper – it was like almost like a hybrid hook uppercut. Like a shovel punch almost that put Jamahal Hill down. I mean, people have to realize that Alex Pereira, what he's done in the last 3 years is just otherworldly special. And really the last 5 years, becoming a two-division glory kickboxing champion, transitioning to MMA, then becoming a two-division UFC champion, I mean, that's just absolutely unheard of to be able to do something like that. When you look at combat sports resumes as a whole, he's going to be up there with the all-time greats. If you take his kickboxing career into consideration as well.
Wow. Well, are you going to make it down here for this, or do you just go to the main UFC event?
Typically, you go to the main UFC event. We do have a Canadian on the card, Brad Katona, but I don't think that they're going to send me to Louisville for that, although I would love to go.
Well,
I mean,
if you make your way down, we got you taken care of. We'll take you to Churchill, the Ali Museum, whatever you want. We'll hook you up.
Well, I was more wanting to go to the bourbon distillery.
We can do that, too.
We got you covered.
We definitely got you covered there. We got plenty of partners there.
All right. Well, I'll take you up on that, Drew, if I end up down in Louisville for that one. I think it's going to be a great card.
All right. Well, certainly appreciate it. Thanks for the insight, and congratulations on being out and ahead of it.
Appreciate you guys for having me on, as always.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Aaron Brunstetter there, who is becoming fast friends in the Diener household, but when you find out things like this.
Totally. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll take him to some bourbon distillery.
Whatever you want, man.
What does he want to do? Does he want to go down to Jim Beam? What does he want to do? You go do the tour? You want to go to Frankfurt? Where do you want to go?
We got it.
Where do you want to go?
Whatever you want. We got it. But now, I got to say, that was stunning to me to hear that he thinks that number is going to be. I don't know that the demand for here will be like that, but I think the demand is also. It's not just a Louisville audience you're appealing that you're getting a Midwestern audience to go to that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They had 20,000 in Mexico City was the event I couldn't think of. They had 20,000 at that back in February. So I'm looking here at the other fight nights. So they've all been, because I didn't understand this either. And just to try to explain it better, these events in between the main numbered events, he's right, during the pandemic, they went into the just to Las Vegas in the Apex. There's not very many seats inside the UFC Apex. I mean, I can look it up here online, but it's like 1,000 or
did they have an island at some point?
Yeah, Fight Island. Yeah,
Fight Island
during COVID. Yeah,
yeah, I like that a lot.
The capacity is listed as limited, like it's 100 maybe.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it's like a Mercury ballroom.
Yeah, by the way, you can wager in all this on FanDuel when it comes your way, which we're telling you about here as well, because that's a huge category there. When you get on FanDuel, you get FanDuel.com/DrewD. You know, if you want to wager ahead on that, you can. If you want to do, you know, what we have right now, which is, you know, the NBA playoffs, the play-in tournament's over with, you can still go to FanDuel.com/DrewD and get those $150 in bonus bets if you have not signed up yet. So you can go there and check that out. But whether it's baseball, playoffs, whatever your needs are, they're going to be able to take care of them right there at FanDuel. So, you know, again, over-unders on if you had the over or the under in that fight that ended with 1 second to go in the Holloway fight, you were either the happiest or the least happy person. That's one of the worst bad beats I've ever seen.
Like, it was an amazing shot.
Yeah, it really was. Must be 21 or older, present Kentucky. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Caitlin, I'm coming to take you down.